This message, titled Preaching on Preaching, was preached at Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church in Winchester, Kansas. For more information, visit us at winchesterrp.org.
If you would turn in your Bibles with me once again this evening to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, there will be an emphasis this evening on verse 2 as we continue to work our way through this prophet, but we'll read verses 1 through 5 tonight. I would remind you, this is the Word of God, as we were reminded this morning. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, and so let us attend upon the reading of it in a manner consistent with that. Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, 3 days' journey in breadth. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's journey. And he called out, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God. They called for a fast and put on sackcloth. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." Well, since at least the days of Noah, whom the Apostle Peter tells us was a preacher of righteousness, right down to our very own day, God has used, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 1, the folly of preaching to save those who believe. And it is this activity, preaching, that is central in our ministry as a church. Last week, when we opened the book of Jonah, we saw in verse 3 that Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. And we spoke then about what is it that makes a faithful ministry versus an unfaithful ministry. Well, at the heart of a faithful ministry for the church of Jesus Christ is this activity we call preaching. Jesus himself has assigned us this task. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, what is commonly called the Great Commission, a verse we've been going back to again and again as we've been in the book of Jonah, Jesus commissions the church with these words: "Go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel." And to young Timothy, the aged apostle Paul, in the last letter we have from his hand, reminded this young man by saying this: "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Preaching is at the heart of what it means to be faithful in the ministry Jesus has given us. But I wonder this evening, if I were to ask you, many of you who have sat through a life of preaching, what is preaching? Why do we do it, and what is its point? I wonder how many of us could give an honest and biblical answer to that. And to some degree, that can't be faulted. If you put 5 preachers in a room, you're likely going to get 6 different opinions as to what preaching really is. But tonight I'm going to do something that may seem somewhat strange to a few of you. I'm going to preach on preaching. to give you, at least at a foundational level, certain things that are inevitably true, that any biblical Christian, Lord willing, is able to see is true about preaching. And you may wonder, having read these verses, where on earth are you getting this theme, this topic of preaching? Well, this Hebrew prophet Jonah, I believe it can be demonstrated, was called as part of his prophetic office, not the whole of it, but part of his prophetic office was that he was to be a preacher. It was once written, and I think quite rightly, that the Old Testament counterpart to the Christian preacher was the Hebrew prophet. It was the prophet's job to bring God's word, however he received it, to bear upon the mind and the hearts of people. And what we see in these verses that we've read is that this is exactly what God tells Jonah to do. Look at verse 2 with me. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." I want to say tonight, and I say this humbly as one who is not an expert in this field, but in some ways, the way that our translation translates verse 2, it's really not the best translation. Quite literally, and the older translations of the Bible make this more explicit, quite literally, what Jehovah is telling Jonah to do, or we might say a better translation of verse 2, reads like this: "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching I speak to you." A literal translation would be just that: preach to it, preach to Nineveh, the preaching that I speak to you. And I want to use this instance in the book of Jonah, Jehovah's command and Jonah's example, to preach this evening on the subject of preaching. To begin to give us all an idea of why it is we do what we do. So first this evening, our text suggests that preaching, first and foremost, is an act of obedience. This is very easily seen in the language of verse 2. "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the preaching I speak to you." Now, even if we were to ask our children, what kind of a sentence is that? I think it's very apparent that this is a command. God is not making some suggestion to Jonah. "You know, Jonah, I think it'd be really great, this is just what I think, but I think you should go to Nineveh and preach to it the preaching that I speak to you." It's not a suggestion. It's not an invitation to Jonah to say, "Well, Jonah, if you want to accept what I say, if you want to go along with my program, here's what I think you should do. Go to Nineveh and preach to it." It is not an invitation that Jonah can accept or reject however he wants. It is a divine command. It is an imperative. Preach to Nineveh. Go to that city and preach the preaching I speak to you. And this gives us a fundamental point in understanding why it is that Lord's Day by Lord's Day we gather to hear, and I want to include myself in this. I too gather every Lord's Day to hear the preaching of the word. We do not incorporate preaching into our ministry out of traditionalism. "Oh, it's been done for centuries in the church, so we should just keep up the tradition." Not at all. We do not preach and make preaching a center point of our ministry because it is the vision of a man or of the elders or of a congregation. We don't preach because sometime in history, some person thought, hey, this sounds like a great idea. This is what we should do in church. We don't preach because it's popular. And dare I say this evening, we don't preach because we think on a pragmatic level, and hear it that way this evening, on a pragmatic level, that preaching is the best means of communicating the gospel. It is, of course, because God commands us to do it. But it's not just because pragmatically we think, hey, this is what is going to work. Brothers and sisters, we are a church, we are a congregation that is committed to preaching because this is what God has commanded. It is an act of obedience. It was so for Jonah. Go to that great city and preach to it the preaching I give to you. And when you look through the pages of Scripture, you find this imperatival necessity upon the prophets and upon the apostles. It was Jeremiah who in Jeremiah 20, perhaps you remember that passage. It's a passage that is well known. What does Jeremiah say? He says, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire. Shut up in my bones, I am weary of holding it in, and I cannot. And Jeremiah is saying that by necessity, he is compelled to preach the word of God. It was a command for the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, what does Paul say? For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I do not do it according to my own will. Woe is me. That word, that three-letter word, is a potent word. What Paul means there is, let there be a divine penalty that threatens me unless I go and preach the gospel. Paul understood preaching is a command. The apostles understood preaching is not the invention of man, it is an act of obedience. In Acts chapter 5, the religious authorities and the rulers that be go to the apostles and they put them in jail and God delivers them from jail and the apostles begin to spread out and go into the synagogues and teach and preach. And do you remember what the religious leaders tell them at that point? They say, what are you doing? We forbid you from teaching Jesus Christ. And how did the apostles respond? The apostles responded by saying, we must obey God and not man. We are witnesses. The apostles understood that preaching was an act of obedience. And brothers and sisters, it is commanded still. God would have his gospel known to the four corners of the world, and how has he commanded his gospel be made known to all of creation? By preaching. It is a spirit of disobedience that tries to devise another way when God himself has commanded, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's the first point of preaching. It is an act of obedience. Secondly, this evening, let me show you that preaching is a demonstration of power. It is a demonstration of power. You know, when you think about preaching, when you think of the act of preaching, if I can be so bold to venture to say it tonight, at face value, Preaching seems so inconsequential, doesn't it? Oh, we all gather here and we hear the preached word. And it seems inconsequential in our text as well. I want you to see the language that God uses with Jonah. In verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. And then in verse 3, we read, Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city. Twice in as many verses, we read that Nineveh is a great city. That it is an exceedingly great city. And that's not a pointless detail in the text. That's not just some superfluous thing that the Holy Spirit's mind has put into that text. That is a detail that is very important. Why? Because what it draws our attention to is the immensity of the task before Jonah. Think about that this evening. Here is one man, a solitary man, who is commanded to go into an exceedingly great city. The population of Nineveh was at least 120,000 people. We know that from chapter 4, verse 11. God says, and should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left? Here is a solitary man, one prophet, who is called to go into this great city, and he is called to do it not with an army of men. He is called to do it not with any cultural influence. He is called to do it not with some grand reputation. His only credential is, I am a Hebrew prophet who fears the Lord. He is to go to this great city, and what is he to do? He is to preach. And it seems so insignificant. One man walking into this exceedingly great city, preaching the message that God has given him. And if you read it aright, it sounds to human ears so foolish. It sounds, to be perfectly honest tonight, silly. I must admit it, that in my human wisdom, if I was in charge of the great program of the ministry of the church, I would think that almost anything would be more effectual to communicating the gospel than the preaching of the word. Is this really the best way to communicate the word of God? On a human level, if God had said, go and spread the gospel through movies, I could understand that. People love movies. If God said, I want you to spread the gospel through the publication of pamphlets and books, I could even understand that a little more. People are engrossed in books. They love their books. If God had said, I want you to go and I want you to propagate the gospel to all the world through small groups, I would understand that. But preaching, the proclamation of what God has done and is in doing in Jesus Christ, I find myself on a human level saying, really? This is the best way to do this? It seems so foolish. But isn't that the point? In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, what does the Apostle Paul say? He says, for the word of the cross, is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, The world did not know God through wisdom. It pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. It is the folly of God, but in truth, it is his wisdom. And unless you doubt that, I want to remind you this evening that there is power in the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word is more than information. It is more than conveying ideas to your mind as though all of us were merely sitting in a classroom receiving a classroom lecture. There is power in the preaching of the word. The Lord bears the right arm of his salvation. We read that in this account of Jonah, don't we? Through Jonah's preaching, what does God do? God manifests his saving power over the entire city. We're going to look at this, if the Lord is willing, in more detail as we think about revival in Nineveh. But what I want you to see tonight is through this one man's preaching, an entire city repents and turns to the living God. A city that prior to this, to the best of our knowledge, had no revelation of God. Jonah was not walking into a place where Jehovah was known. He says himself in chapter 4, verse 11, they don't know their right hand from their left hand. And through the preaching of one, God demonstrates his omnipotent saving power. And he did it with Jonah, and he did it with Ezekiel. Do you remember Ezekiel 47? God brings the prophet into where? The valley of dry bones. A valley filled with corpses. Even worse than corpses, just a heap of dry bones. And what does God tell Ezekiel? Oh, son of man, prophesy over these bones and say to them, live. And what happens in a display of omnipotent power? Those bones come together, they grow flesh, and the spirit of God's breath goes into them, and the valley of dry bones turns into the valley of living people. And what is it that the Apostle Paul said to the church in Rome? In Romans 1, verse 15, oh, I am eager to come to you. Why? So that I can preach the gospel. I am eager to come to you to preach the gospel. Why? Paul goes on to say in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, because it, the preaching of the gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul reminds the church in Corinth, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. There is power in the preaching of the word. It is a demonstration of God's omnipotent saving power. And I suspect this evening, and I don't think it's far off from reality, that many who stand in the pulpit and many who sit in front of the pulpit to hear the preaching of the word do not come with that expectation. We do not come with that anticipation. Our expectation and our anticipation are so low. And it breaks my heart to realize in my own heart and to see it reflected in so many different people throughout the Church of Jesus Christ that to some people, the preaching of the word is as interesting as the reading of the almanac. As the reading of the phone book, here, brothers and sisters, is where God himself bears his arm of salvation. Here is where God manifests his power that is mighty to save. Remember when I began the ministry, an older, much wiser preacher said to me, I never preach without the deep conviction that the Lord will do something that will last for all eternity? Do you come to the preaching of the word with that expectation? Do you come with that anticipation? Preaching is not only an act of obedience, it is a demonstration of power. Finally, this evening, let me briefly remark that preaching is focused on salvation. Salvation is to be the great theme of every pulpit. God tells Jonah in verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it the message that I tell you." I want to say again, and I say this again very humbly, that this is not a good translation of this verse. In chapter 1, verse 1, and in verse 2, God tells Jonah, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." That little word "against" in chapter 1 is a word that denotes hostility. It is a denunciation. It is a word of disapproval. But in the original, in chapter 3, even though it's translated that way in our translation, that word "against" doesn't actually appear. A literal translation of it is, as we've already said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach," not against it, but "preach to it the preaching that I speak to it." The word "against" is dropped. And I'm not just bringing this to your attention this evening for some nuanced grammatical point, but there is a theological reality there. There's a theological reality that as God commissions Jonah, this idea of preaching to everywhere else where it occurs in Scripture is not merely intended to be a denunciation, but a call to repentance. And I hope this evening you can begin to imagine what the difference of that is. You know, we hear it very often in our own culture. We look at the culture around us, and there are many Christians, and I say this rather to their shame than anything else, who love to denounce the culture. "Our culture is going to hell in a handbasket, period, end of story." And then there are those who more rightly and more biblically say, "Yes, our culture is going to hell in a handbasket. Repent, believe, flee to Jesus Christ." There's a difference between merely denouncing someone's sin and giving them a gospel call to repentance. And the way in which this is actually worded is that Jonah is not to simply go and denounce the sins of Nineveh. He is to go and he is to call them to repentance. He is to tell them, "Your sins have come up before God, but oh, repent. From the greatest of you to the least of you, repent and turn that you might have life and have it abundantly." Jonah is to go to Nineveh, and he is not to go with a self-righteous finger, but he is to go with the grace and the mercy of God as it is freely offered, and he is to call them to salvation. That's the great theme of Jonah's preaching. The great theme of Jonah's preaching was to be the message of deliverance. It was to be salvation. And brothers and sisters, that is to be the primary focus of our preaching as well. It is the preacher's business to proclaim redemption in Jesus Christ and all that that entails. It is not the end of preaching to be a life coach, to give 12 steps to your best life now, to give you rules and guidance for how you can have your happiest life. But the task of preaching is to preach to captives who are enslaved in sin, and to preach the fullness of the liberty of the children of God in all of its glory. The aim of preaching is to make Christians. And by that I mean Christians in the fullest sense of the term. To make disciples of Jesus Christ. That is the theme of preaching. Preaching is focused there. That's why Paul could tell the church in Corinth, when I came to you, I claimed to know nothing among you but Christ and Him crucified. And in Romans chapter 10, Paul displays this truth so evidentially. In Romans chapter 10, Paul says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But then he asks a question. Well, how can they call on him who they have not heard? And then he asks another question. He says, but how will they believe if they have not heard? And then he asks another question. How will they hear without being preached to? And then he asks another question, how will they preach unless they are sent? And he concludes the whole by saying in Romans 10, verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. Paul is saying that is the theme of preaching, salvation in all of its fullness, and it is through that God gives faith. It is through hearing of the preached word that God gives faith. The pulpit is not a place for triviality. It is a place where life and death, heaven and hell, salvation and condemnation are held before the eyes of all, both to the one who preaches and to those who listen. And that is what makes preaching so serious. As one man said, what makes preaching so serious is that the mantle of preaching is dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is singed by the fires of hell. Preaching is focused on the grand and comprehensive theme of salvation in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we begin to see here a picture of what preaching is. It is an act of obedience. It is a demonstration of power. And it is focused and is even the means by which God saves. Now, this is not all that preaching is, but it is in the least what preaching ideally should be. And it is a glorious thing. And it is the very thing the Church of Jesus Christ is called to. No other institution, no other organization is called to preach the gospel. It is not up to our legislatures to preach the gospel. It is not up to publishing companies to preach the gospel. It is not up to any organization, but God has given this high calling to the Church of Jesus Christ. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. May we be a congregation, a church, who by the grace that He gives is a church that preaches. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for these foolish and simple means that You have given to make known Your salvation, even the preaching of the word. Lord, our minds cannot comprehend the act of preaching. But we ask that tonight and on the next Lord's Day and for every Lord's Day after that, that, Lord, You will fulfill Your promise to us that through the preaching of Your word, You will gather and perfect your church until that wonderful day when preaching will no longer be needed, for we will see with unveiled face your glory, and our own eyes shall see Jesus. Bring that day quickly. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.